Dusk falls softly. Early night shadows leak through the tall windows, robbing the room slowly of their colour. I have no appetite for dinner, nor do I join the others in Felicity's scarf-draped sanctuary. Instead, I find myself wandering till I'm just outside Pippa's room. I knock quietly. Miss Moore answers. Behind her, Pippa's lying on the bed, beautiful and still. How is she?
Sleeping, Miss Moore answers. Come, no use standing in the hall.
The door is opened wide. She lets me take the chair by the bed and pulls another over for herself. It's a small, kind gesture, and for some reason it adds to my sadness. If she knew what I'd done to Pippa, what a liar I am, she wouldn't want to be so nice to me. Pippa's breathing deeply, seemingly untroubled. I'm afraid to sleep myself, afraid I'll see Pippa's terrified face as she toppled into my bloody, stupid vision. The fear and guilt has me exhausted. Too tired to keep the tears back, I bury my face in my hands and weep. For Pippa, my mother, my father, everything. Miss Moore's arm slips around my shoulders.
Shh, don't worry. Pippa will be fine in a day or two.
I nod and cry harder.
Somehow I think these tears aren't all for Pippa.
I'm a horrid girl, Miss Moore. You don't know what I'm capable of.
There now, what's this nonsense? She murmurs.
It's true. I'm not at all a good person. If it weren't for me, my mother would still be alive.
Your mother died of cholera. That wasn't your doing.
The truth has been bottled up inside me for so long that it comes pouring out, spilling everywhere.
No, she didn't. She was murdered. I ran away from her and she came after me and was murdered. I killed her with my unkindness. It's all my fault. All of it.
My sobs are great gasping hiccups. Miss Moore still holds me in her sure arms that remind me so much of my mother's right now I can barely stand it. Eventually, I'm completely cried out, my face a swollen balloon. Miss Moore hands me her handkerchief, bids me blow my nose. I'm 5 again. No matter how much I think I've matured, I always end up back at 5 when I cry.
Thank you,
I say, trying to give back the white lace handkerchief.
You hold on to it, she says diplomatically, eyeing the limp, disgusting thing in my hand. Miss Doyle, Gemma, I want you to listen to me. You did not kill your mother. We are all unkind from time to time. We all do things we desperately wish we could take back. Those regrets just become part of who we are, along with everything else. To spend time trying to change that, well, it's like chasing clouds.
New tears trickle down my cheeks. Miss Moore brings the hand with the handkerchief in it to my face.
Will she really be all right?
I say, looking to Pippa.
Yes, though I think it takes a toll on her to have to keep such a secret.
Why does it have to be a secret?
Miss Moore takes a moment to tuck Pippa's blanket under her chin.
If it were known, she would be unmarriageable. It is considered a flaw in the blood, like madness. No man would want a woman with such an affliction.
I remember Pippa's strange comment in the caves about being married before it was too late. Now I understand.
It's so unfair.
Yes, yes, it is. But that is the way of the world.
We sit for a moment watching Pippa breathe, watching the blankets rise and fall with a comforting rhythm.
Miss Moore?
I stop. Here, in private, you may call me Hester.
Hester?
I say.
The name feels forbidden on my tongue.
Those stories you told us about the Order, do you suppose any of it could be true?
I suppose anything is possible.
And if such a power existed, and you didn't know whether it was good or bad, would you explore it anyway?
You've given this a lot of thought.
It's just musing, that's all,
I say, looking down at my feet.
Things aren't good or bad in and of themselves. It's what we do with them that makes them so. At least that's how I see it.
She gives me a cryptic smile.
Now, what's all this about, really?
Nothing, I say, but my voice cracks on the word. Just curious.
She smiles. It may be best to keep what we spoke of in the caves amongst ourselves. Not everyone has such an open mind, and if word got around, I might not be able to take you girls anywhere but up to the art room for an afternoon of painting cheery bowls of fruit.
She lifts a limp piece of hair from my still damp face and secures it behind my ear. It's so tender, so much like my mother, that I could cry all over again. I understand, I say at last. Pippa's hand stirs for a moment. Her fingers grab at the air. She takes a deep, halting breath, then settles into sleep again. Do you suppose she'll remember what's happened to her when she wakes?
I'm not thinking about her seizure, but what happened right before when I pulled her under. I don't know,
Miss Moore says.
My stomach growls. Did you have anything to eat this evening?
I shake my head.
Why don't you go downstairs with the other girls and have some tea? It will do you good.
Yes, Miss Moore.
Hester.
Hester.
As I close the door, I finally do say a prayer that Pippa will remember nothing. In the hall, the four class pictures greet me with all their somber-faced glory. Hello, ladies, I say to their empty, resigned eyes. Try not to be so merry. It's quite disruptive.
A coating of dust has settled over those faces. With the pad of my finger, I clear it away in circles, revealing grainy faces. They stare into a future that's not giving up its secrets. Did they ever sneak into the dark woods under a new moon? Did they drink whiskey and hope for things they couldn't explain in words? Did they make friends and enemies, mourn their mothers, see and feel things they couldn't control? Two of them did, this much I know, Sarah and Mary. Why haven't I ever thought to look for them on these walls before? They must be here. Quickly, I scan the dates scrawled at the bottom of each photograph. 1870, 1872, 1873, 1874. There is no class portrait for the year 1871.